weeks. If everybody would honor God's word this morning with standing. And the verse 38 through 40. And it is Jesus talking. He's talking now, so that means if you came this morning to hear about the gentle little Jesus in the manger, no, he grew up a long time ago. Since 2,000 years now, and we still taking Christmas talking about baby Jesus. No, there's a reigning king that we come to talk about. And so it is Jesus talking. Here goes the reading of God's word. He is talking to the Judaizers and his critics who wants to re-identify who he is. And he says, for I am come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that, get this, that I shall not lose none of all those he has given me. Somebody shout, not one. But raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I, again, will raise them up at the last day. God Almighty. Clap your hands for joy. Put your Bibles down. Clap your hands for joy. What he says is, this is what I came to do. And in the final analysis, I'm going to raise you up. Grab your neighbor by the hand and tell him, say, neighbor, you'll be my shouting partner today. Amen, amen. Be seated. Because possibly, I don't know how it'll be, but because possibly the teacher is going to come out more than the preacher, I need 25 persons to covenant with me that you're going to talk back to me when you hear doctrinal truth. Do I have 25? Sound to me like 7.5. Do I have 25? The word of the Lord is blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand here before you today with boldness and intrepidity, unapologetically and impenitent, resolved and confident, fully persuaded that of all the individuals that have ever stained the canvas of time, undoubtedly, history will concur that there has never been one such as he who, by his invincible power and unparalleled authority, commanded the forces of nature into submission, compelled tyrants and demagogues to renounce lawlessness and iniquity, converted communities, transformed endless cultures and societies throughout the universe, subdued the kingdom of darkness, and today he is revered and adored, venerated and celebrated and exalted as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Doubtlessly, the record will prove that when mortality crosses over into eternity and when time would have rolled up like an ancient scroll, the whole world will be forced to testify that of all men that has ever lived, never has there been one so majestic and simplistic, yet so incomprehensible and enigmatic. Never has there been one so captivating and intriguing, yet so misunderstood misunderstood and misinterpreted. Never has there been one so kind, tender-hearted, and compassionate, yet so controversial and unappreciated. Never has there been one so meek and gentle, yet one so radical, militant, and revolutionary. Never has there been one so adorable, so loved and treasured, yet one so hated, reviled, and resented. Throughout all of the ages, the chroniclers and narrators, my brothers and sisters of history, will forever proclaim, never has there been one so marvelous, magnificent, and enthralling, yet one treated with such scorn and contempt. Never has there been one so persuasive, so candid and convincing, yet never has there been one such as he, so repudiated, I mean doubted, rejected, and despised. Never. To the skeptics, the agnostics, the religious lunatic, Jesus remains a mystery. But to the unredeemed, those whose lives and destiny has been forever changed and transformed, Jesus of Nazareth is the greatest phenomenon that has ever happened to mortal man. And can I get a witness in God's house? Oh my God. Immaculate conception, I mean facilitated by a pregnant virgin, an unknown king born a stranger in a lonely manger, claiming to be Messiah, Savior, Deliverer, Kingsman, Redeemer. To the ancient Jewish Orthodox society, this unthinkable narrative, this unfounded preposterous proclamation wasn't just perceived as fictional and even comical, but in a staunch Pharisaical culture, this was downright offensive, blasphemous, scandalous, and criminal. But regardless what's your opinion of Jesus, once you encounter him, whether you believe or doubt him, revere or disdain him, accept or reject him, you either walk away with the compulsion to love him, to serve him, or a vile discontent, amen, a vile, indignant urge to renounce him. You either love him or you hate him. Regardless how some see it, Jesus is either who scriptures say that he is, or he is the greatest fraudster, hallelujah, the world has ever known. Can I get a witness? On the contrary, without endless debates or hopeless controversy, I rise to declare categorically and unashamedly that regardless of the immeasurable assumption, supposition, speculation, suggestions, or opinions, as for me and my house, Jesus Christ is and will forever be the core and the crux, the source and the very essence of my very being. Somebody say yes. Irrespective of the propaganda, you know, the flagrant dispositions, disputations, and the erroneous, allegations, there are those of us here today who can stand ready to say Jesus is the lifeblood. He is the lifeline. He is the bedrock and the cornerstone. He is the backbone, the wellspring, and the fountainhead of our existence. Somebody say yes. Somebody will have to pardon me this morning if I quote from the hymnologist William L. Thompson, who in 1904 penned these words. He said, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my all and my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, I go to him. No other, come on somebody, no other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, shout, he makes me glad, because Jesus is my friend. Could somebody for a moment reach over and touch your neighbor and tell him that's the Jesus I know? Oh God, I feel good in my sanctified soul. Shake somebody else's hands and tell them that's the Jesus I serve. contrary to the teachings of Christianity, Judaism holds that Jesus was a false duplicitous messiah, a vile miscreant, and that is to say that Jesus was a worthless, deceitful, bastardly troublemaker. But that's what the Orthodox Jews said. According to the Islamic faith, Muslims believe that Jesus was the penultimate prophet. That is to say, the second to last messenger of Allah, Messiah sent to guide the children of Israel with a new revelation of the gospel, of the gospel of Jesus. Come with me here, somebody. Chronicle and recorded in 93 verses in the Quran, Jesus is regarded and referred to as the significant religious figure, albeit according to Islamic theology, though they assert that Jesus had indescribable supernatural attributes and powers, they vehemently deny his divinity, citing that he was simply the precursor, should I say that he was the forerunner of Elijah Muhammad. Islam concludes unequivocally that though a good man, Jesus of Nazareth was not the incarnate son of the living God. But that's what the Muslims say. According to the polytheistic multi-god religious beliefs and practices of Hinduism, Hindus esteem Jesus as a holy man, a wise teacher, as well as one of the pantheon of gods. Though they acknowledge his deity, they boldly repudiate the exclusivity and supremacy of his divine sovereignty. They contend that while Jesus is a God, he is not the only God. Come with me, somebody. But that's what the Hindus say. Come on and say amen, somebody. Simply in the discombobulated, misguided and confused mind of the worshipers of Buddhism, we see the same erroneous persuasion whereby Buddhists contend that although Jesus was an undeniable, kind-hearted, inspiring teacher, in their eyes Jesus is far from divine. But that is what the false pseudo-religions of the world say. And the question is this morning, what do you say? Who do you say that Jesus is? I gotta state my claim. Can I tell you that Jesus is by far the most prominent religious leader and the most frequently mentioned or quoted by religious groups? If you listen closely, you will find that every major religious movement, even those with the most bellicose, hateful, tyrannical, oppositional, contradictory ideologies, they consider Jesus to be an important religious figure. Every movement, hallelujah to God, makes some effort to account for his existence and his teachings. In one form or the other, most religion recognize his humanity. But I come to tell somebody that until Jesus is glorified, until he is venerated and exalted far above powers, above principalities and authorities, your confession is nothing but an insult, hallelujah to God, to who he is. Religion wants to tease and toy. They want to fantasize and flirt with Jesus. But until Jesus becomes the supreme authority in our lives, we do nothing, hallelujah to God, but
disregard his omnipotence, his power. Somebody say yes. Hallelujah. Somebody here is where scripture tells us in Philippians 2 and 10, we are reminded that of the history of his supremacy. When it's cited a familiar quote from the Old Testament, which holds at the name of Jesus, somebody ought to shout, every knee shall bow, every in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Are you hearing me, somebody? When I hear the name Barack Obama, I don't have to bow. When I hear the name President Donald Trump, I will never bow. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because no man stands in a deified position but Jesus Christ. But when I even think of the name of Jesus, it makes me want to fall on my face and do like the angels in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all the earth proclaim his name. Hallelujah. Every day is just the same. He's holy. Anybody know that Jesus is holy? Rise to your feet and shout, holy is the Lord.
Yeah, take me there. Glory be to God. God, though, sit down for a moment. I got to work. Though untold millions still question and repudiate the veracity and authenticity of Jesus, some of the world's most prodigious scholars, esteemed academicians, and amen, have all concurred that the evidence of Jesus is too overwhelming and overpowering to be contradicted, underrated, and negated. Lord have mercy. I feel something in here. I got to state my claim here. Repulsed by the illiteracy, the idiocy, and the lunacy of atheists. In Psalms 14 and verse 1, the psalmist points out that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You got to be out of your mind to be a part of planet Earth and not know that there has to be a God who is responsible for all of the eyes have seen and the ears have heard. Come on and come with me, somebody. I didn't call you that, but if you don't believe, I don't care how much scholastic degrees you have. The Bible calls you a fool. Who is a fool? He's the man that doesn't know God. Come on, somebody. I know what I'm talking about. Did not the Bible tell you never call a man a fool? Are you hearing me, somebody? New Testament tells us, don't call a man a fool except the one that don't believe in God. Those that don't believe in God is the epitome of foolishness. Come on and say amen. I feel you, Jesus. I feel you, Jesus. Oh my God, here it is. So then let me turn now to some of the world's most astute, prolific thinkers to hear the irrefutable, definitive opinions about Jesus, the manger born king. I got to state my claim here today. To begin with, the legendary scientist, you know, the mathematician Albert Einstein. He says it this way. I don't care about anybody else. He says, I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, hallelujah, is too colossal for the pen of phrase mongers. However artful, by Einstein's estimation, he says, no man can read the gospel without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. Come on, somebody. When I read about stars
darling, I don't feel any supernatural presence. He said, but if you just read about Jesus, there is a presence, hallelujah, the God that emanates from your innermost being. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. This is what he says. He says, now, no man can read the gospel and not feel the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulses through every word. No myth is filled with such life. Hallelujah. He says, Theos and other heroes of his type, they lack the authentic vitality of Jesus. In other words, according to Einstein, Jesus is the unequivocal, is unequivocally superior. Jesus is transcending to every other authority. One who stands supreme in a class all by himself. Come on, somebody. Slap somebody and tell them there's nobody to be compared to Jesus, the wet water walking preacher, to Jesus, the Galilean healer. Somebody shout nobody. I said somebody shout nobody. We got anybody in here saved? Shout nobody. Nobody like Jesus. Can I talk about Jesus? There's nobody like Jesus. Sit down for a while. Let me give you information. This was the exact sentiment of French general, politician, and emperor Napoleon Bonaparte when he echoed these compelling words. He says, I know men, and I tell you this, that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Come on, somebody. He says, listen, between him and everybody other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. He said, but what foundation did we rest the creation of our genius? And then he answers, he says, upon force, brute force. But here is the caveat, here is the difference, quite the contrary. Jesus founded an empire upon love, L-O-V-E. And at this present hour, millions of men would die for him. Therefore, according to Napoleon, not only is he, hallelujah, unequal, shout unparalleled, unrivaled. Jesus stands above all others. In fact, Jesus is to die for. Shout hallelujah. Stop by this morning to tell somebody that to know Jesus is to serve him. He who didn't even think twice to lay down his life to redeem a lost and a dying soul like you and me. Without a doubt, besides Jesus, there is no comparison. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? He's not like your mama. He's not like your daddy. He's not like your hubby. He's not like your sweetheart. He stands supreme alone by himself. Somebody say, oh, he's above. Amen. He's above theologians. He's above kings. He's above, amen, despotic individuals that claim to be God. Come on, somebody. He's above government, for the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus, he's everything to me. Come on and say yeah. Come on and shout yeah.
I'm not preaching. I'm just trying to provide you with adequate information. Can I work it? Oh, preach, Dr. Bishop. Sir Vince William Van Gogh, or as the English would say it, or Van Gogh, as the Americans would say it, Vincent Van Gogh, is celebrated among the most famous and influential figures in Western art. But in a dazzling splendor and majesty of Jesus, Van Gogh wrote this. It is, and I quote, "It is a very good thing that you read the Bible. The Bible is Christ. For the Old Testament leads up to this culminating point. Christ alone has affirmed as a principal certainty eternal life." "The identity of the infinity of time, the nothingness of death, the necessity and the reason d'etre, that is, that Jesus Christ is the meaning and the reason for peace on earth, reason d'etre. Come with me, somebody. That he lived serenely as the greatest artist than all other artists, despising marble and clay," he says, "as well as color, working in living flesh, not with paint and brush, but in living flesh. That is to say, this matchless artist, hallelujah, made neither statues, pictures, or books. Instead, Vin says, he loudly proclaimed that he made living men immortal. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That had all of my joy bumps jumping, because to summarize Van Gogh's assessment of Jesus is to say that his record is indisputable and unimpeachable. His record is impeccable. His artistry is exquisite and eccentric. His accomplishments unfathomable and surpassing. Jesus was the consummate artist whose greatest work is forever inscribed and emblazoned upon the hearts of the redeemed. The truth is, my brothers and sisters, the proof you seek is quoted and engraved all over a life that has been set free by the power, hallelujah, to God, of his priceless love, his measureless blood, his precious and divine. Come on and say amen. In truth and indeed, I am a living proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Let's go higher. Somebody shout, I'm the proof. Hallelujah. He is the Word made flesh, who now dwells in the heart of man. Even if you doubt the truth, the veracity and the credibility of the sacred scripture, with shameless audacity, I would dare to say that my life bears proof of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. I would even push it further to say my life is a living proof, not only of Jesus' existence, but that he really is the Savior of the world. Hello, light. The heavy load I once carried, the emotional baggage I eventually dropped off, the worthless habits, shout somebody, and lawless practices I abandoned and left behind, the wounds he healed, the guilt he removed, the ugly scars he made to disappear, the life I now live is evidence that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, deliverer of the oppressed and the redeemed. Come on, somebody. He is redeemer of both the downtrodden and the whole.
witness. I'm a living witness that Jesus can take the dilapidated, despised spectacles of shame and disdain and make it a thing of wonderment and admiration. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, neighbor, the proof is all over you. The proof is all over you. I know you believe because of what Jesus has done in your life. I know you believe because the way you live. I know you believe because the way you shout. I know you believe because the sacrifice you're willing to make for him. Somebody shout, he lives. Somebody shout, he's real. Oh yes, he's real. Say yeah.
Touch me a little high. Truth needs. Truth. Norman needs no argument. For its certainty is the prevailing sentiment, testament that Jesus is so much more than what mankind claim him to be. Can I get a witness? But if doubt and suspicion, Yolanda, demand more supportive, verifiable evidence, allow me then to point you to a few other, watch this, proponents and witnesses of the life-changing, this life-changing reality. As I explained earlier, Jewish believers generally renounce Jesus as Messiah. But according to Shalom Ash, a Jewish author, he said, Jesus Christ is to me the the outstanding personalities of all time, all history, both as Son of God and as Son of Man. Everything he's ever said of old has value for us today, and that is something you can say of no other man, dead or alive. There is no easy middle ground to stroll upon. He says he's either, you either accept Jesus or you reject him. Yes, yes, that's what the Jewish author said. But then we read H.G. Wells. You thought I didn't do my homework. I came to work today. H.G. Wells was not known as a believer. Rather, he was a famous historian. And but according to his own admission, he said, I must confess that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure of all history. Hallelujah. Now, perhaps you've never given it any serious thought, but consider Socrates, the Greek progenitor and father of Western philosophy, who taught for 40 years, Plato for 50 years, and Aristotle for 40. And though Jesus taught for only 3 years, yet the influence of Jesus's 3 years ministry infinitely exceeded the impact of the combined 130 years of the teaching from the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. This is where I must concur as John Knox, that devout Scottish theologian, hallelujah, who sums it up this way. He says, no one else held the place in the heart of the world which Jesus holds. Other gods have been devoutly worshipped, so-called gods, but no other man has been so devoutly loved. Come on, somebody. Others have worshipped other gods out of fear and trepidation, but people on earth has ever loved another man, hallelujah, another god, hallelujah, like Jesus. I don't know
what you think of Jesus or who you consider him to be. But as for me, there has never been and will never be any other to be compared with the matchless King from Galilee. Regardless how the world perceives or classifies Jesus, it's critical that each of us have a clear, unambiguous revelation of who Jesus is, because what we believe about Jesus ultimately determines our eternal destiny. The bottom line is simply this: whether you believe it or not, the reality still remains, as John 14, hallelujah, and 6 proclaims, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life, and no man comes to the Father, he says, except through me, Jesus. Come on, somebody, let's go there. Now, just in case there is anybody under the sound of my voice who is wondering and pondering, I mean probing, investigating, contemplating, questioning and doubting whether Jesus was the Messiah or should we seek another. Let me put it to you this way: Buddha never claimed to be God. Moses never claimed to be Jehovah. Come on, somebody. Muhammad never claimed to be Allah. Albeit angels from the realms of glory declare Jesus, the Prince of Glory, to be the true and living God.